listen to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right. Welcome to episode 153 of Rogue Startups, the post-Black Friday Survivor Podcast.
Craig.
All right, did you? I assume you survived. I survived. It felt like it was a little bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah, man. I think you tweeted out earlier this week that the Black Friday numbers, kind of across the board, from whatever source you tweeted from, were lower than typical. And yeah, man, I kind of get that vibe a little bit that like people are, I want to say, over Black Friday and all that stuff. But yeah, man, it feels a little different. It's picking up steam here in France. Like, they call it Black Friday too. And you know, we went out on Black Friday and there were some good deals and stuff, but yeah, I mean, for me, kind of like seeing the kind of e-commerce world on especially Cyber Monday, it just seemed a little different. Like, everybody was doing it, so it wasn't special. Whereas before, like, if you went to Best Buy and Target, you know, 5 years ago, you could get some stellar deals, and now basically everything is stellar, so it's not special anymore. I don't know.
It is kind of weird, actually. Like, I was Googling stuff before Black Friday. So we were actually in the market for a TV this year, and we ended up buying one. We bought it before Black Friday. I went, and there were a bunch of leaked online flyers for Best Buy and Costco and Target and Walmart. And there's like, it was like a site called blackfridaydeals.com. And so I went there and I looked at all the various things and I was like, well, none of that's really what I want. So we just ended up going to Costco and buying a TV that they had on special, like a couple, 3-4 days before Black Friday, before Thanksgiving even. And it was totally fine that, you know, Costco had basically said, yeah, we're not lowering our prices any lower than this. This is what it's going to be through the beginning of December. So we're just like, all right, we'll just pull the trigger on it.
Yeah.
So in that sense, like, I noticed two things about Black Friday this year. One was it definitely – so I live very close to a major mall here in South Denver. And there's just a rule that if you go down this one street between Thanksgiving and New Year's, you're going to be swamped with traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't really see that as much this year. It felt a little bit lower. Now, I'm still avoiding it during peak times, but even non-peak times, you go down there, and it still is a little more jammed than usual. I didn't really see that as much this year. So the whole notion of, you know, it was down 9 billion or 9 million or whatever it was, I think it was billion, over the previous year's total sales makes a little bit of sense from my empirical evidence of what I see around here. There's also this sense of everybody's trying to game Black Friday now. So it used to be you would do the Black Friday Cyber Monday offers. I see a lot of people that are doing pre-Black Friday stuff now, where they're trying to do it the week before. And that's smart because then all of a sudden you're catching people early. Their inbox isn't as crammed, and you have a better shot at their attention. But the problem is everybody starts to duplicate that.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes like this noise. So there was a joke on Twitter where it was Black Friday. Oh, today is National Unsubscribe Day, you know?
Sure. No, I mean, it's
all the crappy email lists that you didn't want to be on. And it's true. You know, if your message isn't resonating and you're not hitting the right person at the right time with the right thing, you know, they're going to be like, fuck you. I don't want to deal with this. Delete. And I think that was definitely there on Black Friday. Definitely some people that were off message. There were definitely people that were doing really well. And in fact, a lot of people in our single founder circles were offering a lot of deals on Black Friday. We didn't hear at the plugins. And I didn't get around to doing something with Recapture, which I will probably still try to do by the end of the year, like an annual sale or something like that. What did you end up doing?
So we've done something already with Castos, and we have something else planned for Podcast Motors. I can talk about both of them, I guess. So kind of talking about what you alluded to with like just the noise and like being difficult to stand out, we were a part of kind of like a bootstrappers roundup of deals that we put together, and we so that for new customers, And so James Sowers from bootstrappers.io put together a list, and we were on that for new customers. And I think we had zero conversions from that. So we basically gave 50% off for the first 3 months of Castos. And we might've had a couple customers, but like, you know, new sign up flow was the same as a normal day for us. So I would say that was kind of like, I was happy to be a part of it and help James kind of promote the thing. And, but for us, that like didn't move the needle at all. What we did is we sent like an internal campaign to our existing customers. And so I think this is like, for me, this is like a good lesson for me and for everybody maybe, and something we're going to put into the business long-term, is our deal was to convert monthly subscribers to annual deals by incentivizing them and giving them an extra month for free. So our annual deal is basically 2 months free. We added another month on top of that, so like 3 months free, if our monthly subscribers converted to annual. And we had about a 4% conversion rate on that, which which is pretty cool. I think this is the question. I like this is the meta question of what do you do with all that? I mean, it's not like I can retire now because we did a Black Friday, Cyber Monday thing. It's not like that, but like it definitely is like, you know, a whole nother month or something, you know, of revenue. So that was cool. Not a whole nother month, but like a pretty decent amount of chunk on top of what we do already in a normal month. So I think that's like the question maybe we'll come back to later is what do you do with that money? Because you still got to like keep the lights on and stuff for all those people that just paid for a year of service. But I think the thing that made it work well is it was pretty targeted, right? It definitely wasn't like our entire email list. We didn't email our list that weren't customers at all about any of this. It was just our existing customers that were on a monthly plan and had been on a monthly plan for more than 3 months is who we emailed. And so like the business lesson, I think, is we're going to build into our post-conversion kind of campaign and drip to say after somebody has been a customer for either 2 or 3 months, before their next renewal, we're going to send them an email and says, hey, you can save 2 months worth of Castos hosting if you upgrade to an annual plan now. You've already been a customer for 2 or 3 months. You know, seems like things are going well. Click here to, you know, change your subscription to an annual plan. And I think it just makes a lot of sense. Like, I get this from WP Engine, I think. I got it from WP Engine. I've been a customer there a couple different times. And they do this pretty well. It's the same thing. It's like after a couple months, they send you an email. Hey, you've been a customer for a couple months. Looks like things are going well. You're paying $99 a month right now. If you subscribe to the annual plan, you'll save $180 a year or whatever. Just click here. And so, you know, in typical me fashion, right, Dave, you'll love this. I hit our developers. I'm like, hey, guys, and this is, of course, also me. This is like Tuesday last week. I'm like, I want to build this thing for Friday. Like, they click this link, magic happens in Stripe, all this kind of stuff. My developers are like, you're kidding me, right? Like, we're working on all this other stuff and you want us to. So I'm like, okay, never mind.
They've got the middle finger emoji and Slack on a hotkey.
They do. But no, so it was really whatever, dumb and easy. So I made a triggered link and drip and put it in this email to where when somebody clicked this link, it would fire off an email to me that says, hey, Billy Bob just upgraded to an annual plan. I would go into Stripe and change them to an annual plan. When they click that link, it would, one, send the notification email to me and then send them to like a confirmation page that I just put on the front end of our site. So there was no like magic in the app or anything. It was just me, you know, checking my email basically all day that day. And, you know, within like an hour of people clicking that link, I was having them upgraded. But the nice thing is like if they click the link and didn't really realize that it was basically the intention was that was upgrading them, then they could send us an email and say, hey, sorry, I didn't really mean to, blah, 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 blah. And so we obviously wouldn't upgrade them. But I guess that's kind of the question is like, does the link automatically upgrade somebody or does it take them to a place where then they can choose to upgrade in the dashboard or something? So if people are doing the annual upgrade things, that's kind of the decision you have to make. It's like, is clicking the link in the email the final straw, or do they have to go take some other action in the app?
Yeah, so, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we still haven't added in the annual plans. I mean, I've had this on my to-do list for a while, but it wasn't one of those things. Like, I think that I could get a really nice chunk of change to do some engineering once I get more customers in, and then I can say, all right, here's the deal. You know, if you pay me the annual plan, I'll give you 2 months, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get that chunk of change, and then we can go do a bunch of work. But, you know, I'm running some AdWords stuff right now, if you can believe that. And we've got some stuff that we just launched on Capterra. So I'm trying to get those leads in and prepped for January. And my developer's trying to wrap up some other projects. So I don't know if we're going to get to this annual plans before the end of the year here. I hope so. But yeah, I mean, I know it's one of those things I should be doing. I haven't done. I want to do it. Just too many things at the end of the day to try to get done at once.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you. I mean, I think we have for regular new signups, we have about 15% of our new signups sign up on the annual plan for Castos. So like annual versions of each of our three plans. And so it's nice. I mean, it makes a decent bump, you know, to get 10 times the monthly revenue up front. It's a nice bump. I mean, it's really worth doing to get some cash up front. And then the thing is like, what do you do with not all that money? Cause it, a lot of times, not like a huge difference, but you know, it might be $1,000 extra a month you could get. You know, what would you do with that extra money?
Well, before we get to that, let's talk about what some of our other folks that we have chatted with have done on their Black Friday deals and what happened as a result of those.
Yeah.
So you saw something from Nathan Berry, is that right?
Yeah, Nathan posted, you know, like a screenshot of their Baremetrics thing. And I don't know if it was probably like Black Friday, like Thanksgiving Day through Cyber Monday, they did $400,000 in revenue or some just stupid amount. Oh, and their deal was all upgrade to annual plans.
Right. And they're doing like over a million MRR, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
So 400,000, I mean, that's a 40% bump of their monthly revenue. So that's nice. You get 40% up front, or 40% of a month up front. So I'm sure that they can use that for whatever engineering efforts or marketing efforts that they're currently pouring things into. So that's good. That's good.
And we saw something from Brennan Dunn as well, right?
We did. So I asked Brennan about this, and he gave some crazy statistics here. He was basically saying that, and this was not something that he just, you know, launched on Black Friday. This is something he's been doing all year long. But when Black Friday came around, he just upped the urgency and made it list-wide. So it wasn't like the evergreen offers that he usually had. It was whatever cohorts were going through at the moment. He basically just said, you've got until this day for this thing to happen. But it was the same evergreen funnel. And he basically had 6 different business types, 3 different stages, 4 different levels of need, and 6 different kinds of purchase history for 432 total combos. And he mixed that up to create on-the-fly messaging combinations so that people were seeing exactly the right message at the right time.
Get that, the right message at the
right time. Get that. You see how I worked that in there? Yeah. Anyway, he said it worked fantastic. He didn't give me specific numbers, and that's fine. Maybe we'll get Brennan on the show here sometime to talk about how he did that and figured that all out and the different dimensions and what kind of messages. I mean, there's lots of questions I would have about how that worked and what were the key, like, where are you doing the messages? Like, where is it most important to put your messages and personalize it there?
Mm-hmm.
Smattering it across your entire site, that's a hell of a lot of work. But if you're like in certain areas that you know are going to have the most impact and you want to maximize your effort, like he would be the guy that could say, yeah, do it on this page, and this page, and you're going to see 80% of the impact right there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's got that all dialed in, and he said he had a great Black Friday as a result of that.
Yeah. I think he said his first 6-figure day, right, is what he said on Twitter. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, that's amazing. What prompted us to ask.
Amazing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that, like, for me, and I think probably, you know, knowing what Brennan is doing with Double Your Freelancing and kind of using it as a vehicle to self-fund himself with Right Message, the thing with that, like, the takeaway for me with, like, Black Friday and deals and urgency is to get the money up front, to get people committed, the urgency and the time, the cutoffs that exist with a lot of these deals is a lesson that we probably all can take and, like, impart in the rest of our business to say, like, it's a SaaS business, but maybe we could put a little bit of, like, time urgency in there with certain deals, you know?
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
And you got to be, you know, timely with every aspect of it. So that's the thing that I think Right Message really makes it feel like is, even though you're dealing with evergreen content and whatever, you give the right person the right message at the right time so that they feel like you're speaking directly to them. And that's what pushes them through that much more quickly there.
So, So, you know, I replied to Nathan Berry on Twitter, and of course he has, you know, a bunch of people asking him questions about his business, so he didn't get a chance to respond to me. But my question was, what do you do with 400 grand in an already established, profitable business? And I think that, like, that's the, if you don't have an answer for that, then running a Black Friday deal or Cyber Monday or end of the year deal is kind of for naught, because, like, what are you going to go run this deal for just to have a bunch of money in the bank? Your customers are actually paying you less in the long run, right? Because you're giving them a month for free or 20% off or whatever. So I don't know. I would love to hear from some folks. You know, people are listening to the show. If you ran Black Friday deals, what are you going to do with your money? That, you know, people upgraded to annual plans ahead of time. And now you have 20 or 25 or 30% of the people on annual plans. What are you going to do with that money? Because you can't just take it all home and go buy a Tesla, right? Like, what are you going to do in the business?
Well, I think Nathan can at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly fucking can't go buy a Tesla. But, like, for you know, for these people that have to go put that money to good use in their business, you know, what are you going to do to make the bit of revenue you sacrificed up front worth it, because you're getting that money earlier, to where you can grow the business bigger than you could otherwise? I guess that's kind of like the long version of it.
Right. And the thing that's kind of tough about that question is you've taken that annual revenue. So if, like, you're a productized service, do you set a portion of that aside to service the service that you're going to have to provide and then put the rest to work? Or is the margin so low that you just don't have that much extra after you've done that? Or do you just throw it all down for growth and say, fuck it, I'm going to try to make the business larger? And it's gamble, right? Because you don't know if your campaign is going to pull it off. But if you don't try something, if you don't experiment, you don't really get the opportunity to figure that out either, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know if AdWords or Capterra are going to pay off. I mean, I have some good ideas. But right now, this is just a very, I wouldn't call it a very expensive experiment here, because I know I was talking with, I'd like to give a shout out to David Hamrick of ViewScan, who gave me some great tips on how to get through AdWords. They've totally changed their interface, just like Facebook, probably in relation to GDPR. But the end result was, like, I literally missed one link in a series of things, and it was very hidden and kind of buried a little bit, not very obvious. By not clicking that one link, all of a sudden I got put into child safety lock mode in AdWords, and they were, like, doing all this dumb stuff. And I'm like, I can't bid on the damn keyword now. What the hell? They're, like, doing all this stuff for me and asking me what business category I'm in and spraying my bid across a bunch of keywords that I don't care about. I'm like, ah!
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I just wanted to reach out and, like, strangle AdWords, yeah, if AdWords was a person. And, you know, then I tweeted out in desperation, and David came to my rescue, and David's running, like, a very, you know, I don't want to reveal what he told me because that's in confidence, but he's definitely spending a hell of a lot more on AdWords than I am and seems to know his stuff. And he was like, oh, I don't hardly know anything. And I'm like, dude, you're a total expert by comparison.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, no, I've got this other guy that taught me, and he spends even more than I do. So I'm like, okay, I'm like this little tiny insignificant ant in the world of AdWords here, trying to navigate my way around and find my one crumb so I can carry it back to the nest.
So, but, Dave, what, with AdWords, is this because you tried Facebook ads and they didn't seem to work?
I did not have a great deal of success with Facebook ads trying to drive people to blog articles. I didn't go straight to free trials because I knew that others have had trouble in the past. I've talked with Ruben about that, and he was like, yeah, the BidSketch free trial stuff on Facebook ads, it's kind of rough. He said he had better luck driving stuff to blog articles. So I took that to heart, and I heard that from somebody else at Big Snow Tiny Conf, where they're like, people just aren't thinking about this. And so you have to meet them where they're at. And if they're thinking about, you know, cat videos or whatever, you got to have a thing that's like cat videos in order to catch their attention and then try to get them later. So I tried that approach, and I didn't have a lot of luck with it, but I didn't spend thousands of dollars trying that out. I tried a few hundred, and I wasn't getting much traction there. So I was like, all right, well, I feel like I got to try something else here. So that's what made me shift to AdWords. Specifically, it had to do with a recent snafu. MailChimp actually got kicked out of the App Store in Shopify for a few days. I don't know if you knew that.
No, wow.
Yeah. So when that happened, I was like, oh, okay, well, this is a possible opportunity here, because I didn't know how long they were going to be out. I figured it might be longer. It turned out it was only about 3 days. But they got kicked out because they were doing a new deal with Square, and then all of a sudden Shopify got upset about that and said, sure, you know,
yeah,
you're violating the terms of our service. Even though I went back and read the terms of service, I'm probably the only person who's read the Shopify terms of service now besides MailChimp lawyers. and I'm like, what the hell did they violate? I even went through like the obscure side clauses where they're like, okay, here's your code of conduct and here's this and here's that. I'm like, I can't see what MailChimp did just by announcing that the partnership was Square. So I think, you know, Shopify was mad at them. Anyway, long story short, I'm like, okay, so if people are looking for something like MailChimp, now's a great time for me to try to promote my stuff so that if somebody's searching for those things on MailChimp and Shopify, I can go after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bid on the pages to get up to the front, and I got some stuff at the top, and I'm still experimenting with ad text and clicks and all of that sort of stuff. I don't even know if they're converting. I haven't gone and looked at the data. It's still too early. It hasn't even been more than a week at this point. Okay. And it happened like right around Black Friday. So, of course, all the ad prices are going through the roof now. And I'm like, oh, great. Because around this time of the year, everybody's bidding on AdWords. So just in general, it seems like the bidding has gone up across the board. And that happens on Facebook, too. It's not unique to AdWords. So it'll probably settle down in January when everybody stops their crazy e-commerce advertising. But for now, it's out there, and I'm trying to see if it's going to convert as a channel. And if it does, you know, it's totally worth it. If I can get paying customers out of that, I have a high enough LTV that even an expensive AdWords ad would still make some sense if I can get a certain number of customers.
So, yeah. Yeah.
But I got to run it long enough to figure that out. Anyway, that was a total sidebar.
No, it's interesting. I mean, it's super interesting. So I think everybody says Facebook ads. But I mean, I think it's whether it's Capterra or Google AdWords, you're getting, they're both like intent-based ad platforms instead of interest-based with Facebook. So I mean, you're getting a lot closer to someone making a buying decision with either of those platforms. And I think, I mean, it's just a whole mindset shift of, I'll just pay 10 times more for a click, right? Because that person might just buy your shit right then, you know? Whereas like no one is going to buy your stuff on Facebook. So you have to like nurture them through email and retarget them. And you're going to spend that money again, time or effort or whatever. So I don't think it's wrong at all, man. I mean, I've been thinking for a while that this hybrid of like Facebook ads for just getting someone on your site like to read a blog article and then retargeting them with Google AdWords would be a really interesting thing. Like have the Google Pixel or whatever, right? Like that thing exists, right? The version of the Pixel for Google AdWords, and say, right, like if I got them on my site through whatever, happens to be Facebook ads, and then I could retarget them in Google AdWords, you know, when they're at work tomorrow or whatever. I don't know. It might be interesting.
Yeah, that's, you know what? We should ask that question to Moitza when she comes on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's exactly what you said. It's like people are on their iPad on the couch on Friday night, not ready to buy a thing, but would read a blog article Monday morning. If you showed them an ad in Google, they might buy then. I don't know.
Right. I mean, it's all about finding that path and that funnel. And sometimes it just really feels like you're stumbling around in the dark, trying to see what that path looks like. Your customers know what it is, but they're not telling you how they got there. They'll just tell you the endpoint. Oh, I found you on Google. You know, I ask people all the time, how did you hear about me on Recapture? Oh, I found you on Google.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, you know, obviously that leads to a lot of other questions. What were you searching for? What were you specifically trying to solve? You know, at what point had you tried other solutions? Were you trying to replace something? Were you trying to do a new thing? You know, I want to ask them a million questions, and I've tried. A lot of times they just stop answering at some point. They're like, dude, you are way too nosy or whatever it is that they're like, I just want to do my abandoned carts. Leave me alone, dude.
Right.
And, you know, I would love to know more. And I just found out something today. Like there was a great tool I found where somebody discovered how if you're have an app on the Shopify app store, one thing you can do is you can drop your Google analytics code on there. Not the JavaScript snippet, but the account number thingy.
Yep.
So you drop that in there and then they automatically have a piece of JavaScript that gets injected and then they'll just add your account to it. So then it will actually send you back information about how these people are searching for your stuff inside the store, inside the app store.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is gold.
Yeah.
This is totally gold. And I just literally this week, like I think it was yesterday, I just talked to somebody in the Shopify app store and I noticed that a lot of my competitors were listed in two and three categories and I was just dumped into one. And so I was like, so can I get into those categories too? And they're like, well, just tell me about your functionality and we'll tell you what it, you know, here's the list of everything and what the definitions are. What do you think you belong in? So I read through it and I'm like, one, two, three, I think I belong into these. And they're like, okay, here you go.
That's crazy, right?
So I just tripled my exposure in the app store because I was
great.
In one.
And that was just this week or?
That's just this week. And now yeah. I already had the Google thing on there and now I can do the analytics. I can run a Google Sheets report. There's a Google Analytics add-in and they talk about how you can do all of this and break up the individual parameters that are in there, et cetera, et cetera. And then you get your ranking for these keywords and what they were doing. Were they doing searches? Were they browsing the category? Which was really super interesting. So when I was at Shopify Unite, they were like, you know, we're really trying to eliminate the search in Shopify. And I'm thinking to myself, are you guys idiots? Because what do you think people are doing? They're searching for stuff. Mm-hmm. They're just picking keywords for things that they think stuff that they need. And they're like, we have this whole discovery thing. And I looked at their taxonomy and it was like they had 13 top level categories. And then below those, it had anywhere from 4 to 16 subcategories on each of those. It was like a total.
Right.
I looked at the cross product of it and I was like, this is a nightmare. Customers aren't looking for things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this isn't going to work. And I had no data to back it up. Guess what? Now I have data to back it up. I just looked at my search data for the last month. Take a guess what percentage were ones that looked in the category versus just did the search.
Less than 10% in the category?
10% were in the category, 90% were doing the search, exactly as I feared. Yeah. So that whole taxonomy thing that they came up with, it sounds good, it looks good, you know, it makes everything look real pretty and organized. It's not what they're using.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how they're finding stuff on there.
Interesting. I mean, it's probably a lot easier for them to optimize the categories and the taxonomies than a big search engine, right? Because that's complicated and people are gaming the system and stuff they can't really anticipate. But no.
Yeah. And I'm sure that people are going to start gaming the system in the Shopify app store now.
Sure. Yeah, totally.
You know, it's what they've been doing in WordPress.org repository for a long time too. And they're like, oh, you can't game the system. And I'm like, oh, yes, we can.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, exactly how I'm doing it. I have done it. Don't tell me it's not possible because that's exactly putting me on top of the store. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
yeah, it's interesting that they think that. But anyway, how did we totally got off track on Black Friday stuff here?
No, no, I mean, I think, yeah, kind of getting back to Black Friday and upfront deals, I guess, in general, is like kind of the what I see a lot of, you know, getting people in, getting people committed, annual plans or whatever, you know, upfront sacrificing 25% or whatever of your margin just to get new customers in. And then, yeah, I mean, I think, Dave, we should probably like explore in depth a little more, because I have just questions about, you know, how you would spend money from annual plans or Black Friday deals or whatever. But everybody who's run a Black Friday deal has a sudden injection of cash in their business, whether it's annual deals or just selling more stuff, e-commerce or whatever. So, you know, we all, myself included, probably should have had an idea of what the fuck we're going to do with this in a smart way, so that losing that total revenue that we gave away with the 20% discount or whatever ends up being worth it, because we have the money up front. And I think, you know, what we landed on from our last time we talked about this is, if you have some degree of product market fit, most of that resource should be on marketing. So that's probably the answer I should give myself.
Well, I think it, you know, obviously it's going to depend a lot on what you're already doing and what you would like to do and what channels you feel are unexplored. And, you know, I wouldn't just take the whole wad and blow it on one thing. It doesn't matter really what that one thing is. I just don't think that's a smart use of funds.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just very fiscally conservative. So, you know, it's very rare for me to say, I'm just slapping it all down. You know, here's $10,000. Put it on red.
Put it on red.
Yeah, I'm not the guy that's going to do that. I'm going to be like, I'll put $10 on black, please. So, yeah, I mean, you have to look at your existing strategies. Is there something that's working? You know, if something's really working, maybe you can double down. Does it work twice as well? Or does doubling it really not move the needle at all? Because that tells you something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to explore a new channel? Do you need to do some engineering to get to that channel? You know, I would love to expand to other integrations. It's going to take me money to get there. It's like, if I wanted to go and sell Recapture on WooCommerce right now, I can't do that until I integrate with WooCommerce. So I would have to drop some cash into that and make that work first. So yeah, there's lots of ways to slice and dice that, I see.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking about this because we're offering a deal with Podcast Motor as well. So we're offering kind of a similar upgrade to annual plan for Podcast Motor, and you alluded to a little bit, Dave, that like it's a productized service, so it's great that we would potentially be getting you know, whatever, this infusion of cash, but we have bigger kind of expenses to pay on an ongoing basis, so we definitely can't take all of that money out of the business. But yeah, for me, you know, I expect that we'll convert a couple handful of customers maybe to annual plans, which is a chunk of change. And we're going to spend all of it on marketing because there's no product really to build. It's kind of the nice thing about a productized service in a way, I guess. And yeah, we're going to be doing some serious LinkedIn work here in the next couple of months. So I guess stay tuned. We should have James Kennedy on to talk about his LinkedIn magic. So I'll make that happen here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be very cool. So what was your experience out there in the audience for Black Friday? Did you run a deal? Did it work out? Did you move the needle on your business? Are you sitting on a pile of cash and have a better idea how to actually spend that than Craig and I do? Drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. podcast@roguestartups.com. And our usual ask, if you felt that this podcast was valuable to you, we'd love for you to share it with a friend that you think could benefit from it as well. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.